Song. Gospel of Luke. Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. Find that in your Bible this morning. Matthew, Mark, Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. And when you find that chapter, I'm going to begin reading in verse 33. And we'll read three or four verses here and then get into the message this morning. Luke 11 and verse 33. If you're able to stand, let's do so in honor of God's word this morning. It is worthy of honor, and give honor to whom honor is due. Chapter 11, verse 33. Jesus speaking, "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light." And I want to speak today on light and sight. Light and sight. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And that's kind of been the theme of many songs this morning. And we understand that we love you because you first loved us. And we're grateful for that. Now, please, please, open our eyes, that Lord, we may behold something wonderful, helpful in this passage. If anybody here is lost and unable to see spiritually, I pray that you cause them to come to Christ today. Make a tender heart. And for all that are saved here, may our hearts be ready to receive what you have for us. Fill us with your spirit, both speaker and listener, is my prayer. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. Be seated. Light and sight are the main subjects of what Jesus is talking about in these verses. Now, I want to draw your attention to the fact that he gives a strange warning in verse number 35. Look at it there. "Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness." That's kind of a strange thing, isn't it? The light that is in you can be darkness? That's odd to me. But the answer is yes. it is possible for someone to believe they have the light when in reality they are in darkness. That's what Jesus is saying here. Now, verse number 29, Jesus said, in fact, they have to kind of get the context of the passage here to put it all together. Back in verse number 29, when the people were gathered together, gathered thick together, he began to say, this is an evil generation. Okay, now, why were they evil? Were they murderers? Were they adulterers? Were they drug users? No, no. Now, earlier, Jesus had cast a devil out of a person, and the Pharisees had accused him of doing it in the power of Satan. Well, that's a very foolish conclusion when you think about it. Why would the devil cast a devil out of a person who was under the control of that devil? And Jesus even said, that's foolish. In that case, Satan would be divided against Satan and his kingdom would fall. But now stay with me because we're finding out why Jesus called this an evil generation. There were other people standing around who wanted a sign. They wanted a sign. They wanted a sign from heaven. They wanted something clearer. They wanted something more definitive than a miraculous healing to prove that Jesus was the Son of God. He had just cast the devil out of somebody. I don't think that's normal for you and me. He just cast it down. But that wasn't good enough for them. They rejected the light. There was plenty of light that Jesus was the Son of God. But they rejected the miracle. They rejected the miracle of that light, the light there and that they'd been given. And they were seeking more light. No more. There's not enough. In verse number 33, Jesus says, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. What he's saying there is, hey, you have been given plenty of light about me being the Son of God. But folks, think about it. They had the Old Testament prophets. They had the preaching of John the Baptist. They had the audible voice of God, who spoke from heaven, said, this is my beloved Son. How much clearer does it need to be? They had the audible voice of God. And then they had the words and works of Jesus himself. You know what that's called? That's called light being put in a place where it gives out a lot of light. So they had been given a lot of light. The light about Jesus being the Son of God had been placed in a way that all could see clear. And they understood the metaphors here because back in this day, they don't have electricity. They see with candles. They see with oil lamps or candles. And, you know, if you're in the darkness, you don't light a candle and then hide it under the piano. If you're in darkness, you light a candle, you set it up high where it gives light, spreads it around. And Jesus said, none of this has been done in the dark. None of this has been done in a corner. It's been full display of who I am. And yet, in spite of it, you refuse to accept the light that you've been given and you want more. You desire more. And in essence, people, you know what? By saying we need a sign, we need more, I need more clarity. You know what they were saying? That they were saying was their unbelief was whose fault? It's your fault. If you give us more light, you haven't given us enough light. You have left us in the dark. Why haven't you been more clear on this matter? Why couldn't you just come out in plain language and make it more clear? It's your fault that we're in the dark concerning you being the Messiah. It's your fault that we can't believe that you are the Son of God. They could believe, they would not believe. Give us more clarity. Give us more clarity. Now, in verse number 34, you get to the real problem. Jesus says, here's the problem. He said in verse 33, there's been enough light. Okay? Here's the problem. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. The real problem wasn't a lack of light. The problem was evil sight. Unfocused sight. People, look, this organ right here, these organs right here, the organ that reside in these sockets, Our eye does not create light. Our eye is the organ that allows light in so that we might see. Somebody who's blind is not blind because there's not enough light in the world. They're blind because there's a problem with their sight, with their eye, okay? That's the problem. There's enough physical light in this world for all of us to see. If we can't see, the problem is not lack of light. The problem is the eye. And their problem was not a lack of light, but their problem was a lack of focused sight. Focused sight, clear sight. And I want you to notice something. And listen to these words. Jesus said, when your eye is single. He didn't say if. He said, when your eye is single. Your whole body is full of light. Now, if you like to make notes in your Bible, that word single, definition of that English word single, means properly folded together. And the greatest illustration I can give you is the illustration of a binocular. Okay? This binocular up here is made up of two different lenses. I look through it with my left eye, this lens. I look through it with my right eye, this lens. But you know what? Right now, I can't see a thing. It's distorted. It's confused. My picture of sight is all goofed up. I can't make heads or tails out of anything. But as I fold this together, these two become what? And now I have single vision, and pray for me because Matt Maxwell is right in the center of my vision back there. Whew, got to clear my mind of that. Amen. Folded together. Jesus said, there's been enough light concerning me being the Son of God for you to have single vision. But you've chosen. You've chosen. This expanded, unclear, unfocused view. And Jesus told them, when their eye, singular, not eyes, when your eyes, because he's not talking about their physical, he's talking about the eye of their mind. Are you with me? I'm not talking about their physical eyes. When their eye, singular, not eyes, plural, singular. When your vision, when your focus is properly folded together, it's going to result in you being full of light. I bring this thing down to a single lens and I can see clearly. And Jesus said, when you're looking at things and when you're looking at me in that kind of light, with that kind of sight, with that kind of vision, you can see clearly and your whole body is full of light. Look what he said in verse 36. He said, and verse number 36, he says, if thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. You know, it's something to walk outside on a bright sunny day and just get a clear, bright, focused picture, right? It's not like seeing at dawn or at dusk. Things are not as clear at dawn. Things are not as clear at dusk as they are when it's bright, clear, shining middle of the day. So he told them, he said, when your eye is fixed right, when you're looking rightly, when your eye is focused, when you're thinking right and seeing right and considering right, your whole body is full of light. But then he also told them, when your eye is not single, then it's evil. Now, isn't that interesting, people? It's not single vision or double vision. It's single vision or evil vision. And he uses the word when. When your vision is evil, when it's not clear, when it's not focused, then your body is full of darkness. And when your body is full of darkness, there are all kinds of problems. You know, how many stories are there? How many stories are out there about hunters being in the woods? And at dawn or at dusk, and especially dusk, mistaking a human being for an animal and pulling the trigger and killing another person. And they thought they were killing an animal. But their picture wasn't clear. Their sight, their vision wasn't focused. It wasn't clear. They were uncertain. And brother, when you're uncertain, you better never pull the trigger. You be certain what you're aiming at. And there's all kinds of problems. They live, chaos erupts in their life. They mistakenly kill a person. So this is what Jesus is talking about. Light and sight. You've been given enough light. The problem is not lack of light. The problem is evil sight. And you're choosing when you're looking at me with this expanded, we need more, I need something more definite, I need something more clear. That's called evil vision, and it's going to create all kinds of problems for your life. When you focus down and properly fold together and see me in the right light, your body's going to be full of light. It makes a world of difference. It makes a world of difference if our eye is single or evil. World of difference. And this is what I want to hammer down on. Look at verse 35 again. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. Now, Jesus said, we need to pay attention and make sure that the light that is in us is not darkness. In Matthew 6, Jesus said, if your light is in fact darkness, how great is that darkness? If you're seeing evil, and as a result of seeing evil, your whole body is full of darkness, and you think you're under the deception that it's light, that is considered great darkness. You're in a world of trouble. A world of trouble. So let me put it together using this setting. The Pharisees rejected the light that was clearly displayed, clearly set up on a candlestick high for them, revealing that Jesus is the Son of God. Their vision concerning Christ was not single. It was not properly folded together. It was not focused. It could have been, but it wasn't, because they chose not for it to be. It was evil. They rejected it. And if they had received the light that Christ was the Messiah, their whole life would have been filled with light. But by rejecting Jesus and thinking that salvation was through the law of Moses, see, in their mind, they were enlightened. Oh, we have learned, and we've been enlightened, that salvation is found in keeping the law of Moses. But that wasn't light. That was darkness. That was evil. Saying salvation is in the law of Moses instead of in the person of Jesus Christ is not just double vision. That's evil vision. That's evil. And as a result, they were in darkness. And I will tell you about that darkness. You know where it took them? It took them straight to hell. That's pretty dark. Especially when you think it's light. When you're deceived. So the problem was not a lack of light. The problem was evil sight. Now, here this morning, I'm going to give you, if I have time, and I have time for it all, but let me give you three areas in which we need to be clearly focused with single vision. Clearly focused with single vision. Area number one, salvation. I've been talking about that. People, the light concerning salvation has been placed in such a way that all people can see it clearly. See it clearly. Jesus died, was buried, and rose again the third day to make salvation possible for all mankind. Salvation is in Jesus and Jesus alone. Plus nothing, minus nothing. And if your eyes are not properly folded, if the eye of your mind is not properly folded together to not only think that, but act on that. See, this world is full of people who've been enlightened. It's more than Jesus. It's good works. It's more than Jesus. It's this. But if your vision about salvation includes anything or anyone other than Jesus, you're in trouble. And you don't grow into that. There comes a point in time where you confess and admit to God, I am a sinner. I cannot work my way to heaven. I cannot buy my way to heaven. I can't trust in anybody else. It is only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary that I can receive forgiveness of sins. And you put your faith in what Christ did and Christ alone. That's salvation. It's a definitive point in time. It's not some work of osmosis. And I wonder sometimes if people don't sit in our churches and church pews and they think that they're saved, but they just kind of think, I knew about Jesus when I was a little boy. I knew about Jesus when I was a little girl. You know, over time, I just kind of morphed into being a... Nobody morphs into being saved. If that's how you look at it, you're in trouble. That's darkness. And if you think it's light, how great is that darkness? Salvation is not in some church's baptismal tank. Salvation is not in some church's ritual or a sacrament or the Hail Marys or whatever you want to call it. Salvation is in Jesus and Jesus. You know, I was still out in Iowa, Pete Schaefer, and some of you know Pete, he's a referee, and he referees at football camp and he referees other places. Some of you know Pete, some of the football, basketball games. Pete and I would go every Friday afternoon, we would go to Iowa City. It was a 30-minute drive, about a 40-minute drive in those days, because the University of Iowa is there, and there were people literally from all over the world who came to go to the University of Iowa. And back in those days, we could go to the complexes where the apartments were, where the dorms were, and just knock doors. And we talked to people from all over the world, literally. And one day we got into this, late afternoon, we got into the home of a Hindu. And if you know anything about the Asian culture, they're very hospitable. And they want to feed you something. And so, you know, we sit down and he's gone. I mean, he disappears. And we hear noise and everything. Pretty soon here he comes back with this tray, and he's got hot tea and some pastries on there. And he sets it down, you know, and he says, this is for you. So we began to eat. We began to talk to him. We talked about how he ended up in Iowa City, what he studied at the University of Iowa. And then we got around talking about him being, you know, a Hindu. And, of course, Hindus believe in reincarnation. You know, if I live a good enough life as a human, then when I die, I'll come back maybe as an angel. If I don't live a good enough life as a human, when I come back, I may be an animal. And that's why the starvation in India is crazy. Cows walking around through the streets. It could be Uncle George. They don't want to kill. Aunt Mary. Okay? It's incredible. And, you know, we chuckle, but it's sad. And so he said, yeah, I die, I come back, and I die, and I come back. And I said, is there ever a point in time in which you don't come back? And he said, yeah, it's called the judgment day. I said, what happens then? He said, we have no idea. And that's sad. And his whole life was based on his faith in Hinduism, Brother Allen, thinking that was light, when in reality, it was darkness. So, well, who are you to judge? I'm not judging. God says what it is. It's in Christ and Christ alone. And it's not something you osmosis into or morph into. It is something that happens to a person in a moment of time when they're born into God's family. That's salvation. Now, I'm not preaching this morning to create doubt in anybody's heart. And if you're saved, there's no doubt in that you won't. This won't bother you. But friend, I'm afraid. Sometimes some of the terminology that I hear people talking about, referring to their salvation, and something flutters inside my heart. You don't really mean that. Now listen. The Pharisees thought they had the light. And that light was darkness. And that darkness took them to hell. Now, you know what? You don't do that. You have opportunity. You have time. You have time in the eye of your mind to narrow it down to, I believe God. This is what God said. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And if you're not saved, people, don't let your pride keep you from getting saved.
Yes,
You got to see clearly concerning salvation. You got to get your focus right on the matter of salvation. Number two this morning, not only do you have to get our eyes focused and clearly singled out on the area, matter of salvation, but I believe we need to get them cleared out and singled down on the matter of the Scriptures. The Scriptures. Now, this is an area where a child of God needs to have single, clearly focused vision. You know, many years ago, I focused my sight, I focused my vision on the King James Bible being the Word of God. Now, there was study put into it. There was study put into it. And even though I still may not understand the miracle of this Bible, I believe it from cover to cover. I'm looking at it properly folded together. I see it clearly. I believe that single clear vision. And why wouldn't I have my eye fixed and focused on this Bible being the Word of God? There is enough light to believe that it is the Word of God. Look, for almost 300 years, listen to me, the King James Bible was recognized as the Word of God. Almost 300 years. From 1611 to the late 1800s. You know, when the first, it wasn't until 1895 that a new version was released in England. And until that time, from 1611 to 1895, the King James is practically the only Bible used by God's people who spoke the English language. And since then, there are dozens and dozens of English versions of the Scripture. The Great Awakening took place in the 1700s. The Second Great Awakening took place in the 1700s. The Second Great Awakening took place in the 1700s to the 1800s. The Welsh Revival took place in 1904, 1905. There has never been that kind of revival without this book being used. If every version gives us a purer, more understandable copy of God's Word, then you tell me, why do we have such worldly, carnal Christianity today? I'll promise you, there are no emergent churches that use the King James Bible. They scoff at it. The more versions that are released, the further mankind goes away from God and truth. So you explain to me why there has been an explosion of sin at the same time there's been an explosion of versions of God's Word. In 126 years, that's how long it's been since 1895. 126 years, we have digressed horribly within Christianity. Now churches have beer and Bible Sunday. Beer and Bible Sunday. Now there are churches for homosexuals and churches for lesbians. That's the result of clearer vision, clearer versions, better versions, more understandable versions. So we have more understandable versions, so I can understand it, but our degree of holy living decreases. I'm sorry. It doesn't take a Bible college degree for me to say something stinks with that. Something ain't right. And here's the danger. A person moves from seeing the King James clearly and their vision is not double. It becomes evil because they believe they've been enlightened and they follow the enlightenment when in fact the light that's in them is really darkness. Now, I don't live trying to guess which translation is the most accurate. What if I had to study that way? Well, here I'm in this passage right here, and I want to make sure that this passage is correct. So which translation got this word right? Which translation got this right in this passage? Do I need to get this translation for this doctrine and this translation for this doctrine? The King James says this, but the NIV says this. So in this case, I believe the NIV is more accurate than the King James. But in this case, the NIV says one thing and the English Standard Version says something else. And so, I better stick with the ESV on this. That's not clarity. That's not clarity. That's confusion. That's what I'm talking about. My eye's fixed. My eye is single. This book was the book that was preached when I got saved. My wife was reared on this book being the Bible. My six kids were reared on this book being the Bible. All six of their spouses, I don't mean each one has six spouses, all of their spouses were raised on this book being the Bible. My vision is singular. There is enough light. I just need to fix my sight. My sight. And I'm, look, I know for some of you, I don't know people visiting today and others, they, what in the world are you talking about? This may be all new to you. But I want to tell you something, friend. If there's anything as important as salvation to have your eyes clear on, it's the matter of this book. You've got to base your life's decisions on the principles of this book. You better believe that you have the Word of God. I know there's a lot to read on this issue. I know you can spend hours and hours poring over studies, you know, about why the King James is not the perfect Word of God. I don't participate in those. That scares me. I don't want to be enlightened if enlightenment means I question the authenticity of this book. I'm not interested in that kind of light. I don't want that. I'm a little surprised it's so quiet in an independent fundamental Baptist church. Somebody, look, you better get clear sight on the Scriptures. Clear sight. You don't want to go through life. And I'm sorry, I didn't call it. I would have figured it's either single vision or double vision. That's what my thinking would be. The Scripture calls it evil vision. I don't want to go through my life having evil vision concerning the authenticity of God's Word. Can't do that. My eye is properly folded down on this issue, and I do not intend to unfold it. Well, don't you think you ought to unfold it and learn? No, I don't. No, I don't. Say, well, you have that kind of spirit, that kind of attitude about other Bibles, you know, it's going to hurt the growth of the church. It's like I said last Sunday morning. It's not my job. Jesus said He would build the church. My job before God to stand up here in this place right here behind this desk and do the best I can under His leadership to preach the truth of God's Word. The book says all Scripture is given by the very inspiration, the very breath of God. So where is that? Where is it? Where is it? So if I'm going to have all Scripture that's inspired by God, I'm going to have to go over here and buy 10 versions? That's not clarity. That's confusion. Single-eyed. In the matter of salvation, we got to be single-eyed. In the matter of Scripture, we have to be single-eyed. Number three, in the matter of service, we have to be single-eyed. Now, for sake of time, I won't have you go there, but in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus uses this same metaphor, this same principle to teach about serving God and money. You know what He says? You cannot be focused on serving God and at the same time serve money. The people, there's a difference in serving money and money serving you. Somebody said, money is a wonderful servant. It's a terrible master. And it's impossible. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. Ye cannot. He didn't say, maybe you can't. He didn't say, ye cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and serve money. That's confusion. That's not clarity. That's not single vision. It's evil vision. Again, I would use single and double, but God used single and evil. If you look at life like you can take God in one hand and serve money in the other, you're going to end up in a world of trouble. The trouble is people thinking they are serving God while they're serving money. Well, look at the money I make if I work on Sunday. Think about how this tithe will benefit God's work. According to what Jesus said, that's not double vision, that's evil vision. What has happened to the Lord's day? I'll tell you what, you say, well, I don't know if our Christianity has really decreased as far as commitment and dedication. Well, let's just take the area of Sunday. You tell me what Sunday has become in the last 126 years. Just that area. Just the Lord's Day. We have 126 years of all these versions of Scripture, and somehow we've come to the conclusion that, it doesn't matter what I do on the Lord's Day. Hey, Brother Angel, you're by yourself this morning, but that's okay. You're not worried because there's one standing by me up here that you can't be seen. The Holy Ghost. It's not about being popular. It's not about soothing the feathers, making sure everybody's good. It's like stirring the waters. You know when the man beside the pool of Bethesda was healed? Was not when the waters were calm. He was healed when the waters were troubled. So you're meddling this morning. That's on purpose. That's on purpose. I refuse to be the pastor of the church and allow a lackadaisical attitude about Sunday to become the dominant thinking. This is the Lord's day. It's not golf day. It's not boat day. It's not hunting day. It's the Lord's day. Not mine, His. But that's what I'm talking about. Somehow these clearer, purer, easily to be understood versions the result of it's not very enticing, folks. In God's eyes, anyway. Look, it's not a lack of light. You'd have a hard time arguing that Sunday's not the Lord's day. There's plenty of light for that. Our problem is our sight. And we justify this and justify that. And well, you know this. And well, you know that. And there's no commitment to God's day. God's day. Light and sight. Light and sight. Hey, you know what? There's plenty of light. Plenty of light. The problem is not light. The problem is how you're looking at the light. And when, not if, when means we choose. When means we choose. I know what I want. I want to finish my life with single sight. Said clearly. That's how I want to finish. Not confused. Distorted. Because I'm looking at it with evil vision. Light and sight. Salvation, the Scriptures, and service. How are you looking at it this morning? How are you looking at it? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for listening. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I may pray in just a moment and close the service. But let me just ask two or three questions today in light of this truth. How many people sitting here today would say, Pastor Angel, I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm saved for a Bible reason. I know that I'm saved. I'm not morphed into salvation, grown into it, ritualed into it. I have been saved saved, and I know it. And I know it. If that's your testimony this morning, can you slip your hand in the air and just say it? I'm saved and I know it. Thank you. Take your hands down. Amen. How many saved people this morning would say, Pastor, pray for me. I don't want to have evil vision concerning these matters and other things in the Christian life. I don't want to have evil vision. I really want to have clear vision. And the Spirit of God spoke to me today, kind of troubled my heart a little bit. Made a question rise up about how I've been looking at something. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand in the air this morning? If that's you, would you slip your hand in the air? God bless you. Amen, amen. Thank you. Thank you. Now, if you're worried and your question concerns your salvation, by all means, get that settled. Get it settled. Get it settled. But maybe your question concerns the Scriptures. Maybe your question concerns service. Get those things fixed. Look at it right. Now, here's the final question. Maybe there's somebody here today, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. Based on what you preach from God's Word, I'm not sure that I am saved. On my way to heaven, and I certainly don't want to be full of darkness, thinking that I'm going to heaven and end up in hell. So pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Can I see your hand? Just slip it up if you're not saved. If you're not sure you're saved, God bless you. Amen. Somebody else? I'm not sure I'm saved. Not sure I'm born again. Anybody else? All right. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Sir, if you just look at me just for a moment, you raised your hand just now. You're not sure you're saved. Just look at most important decision in life is knowing that you're saved. We have men that can show you how to be saved. If that interests you, would you come and let somebody show you how to be saved? Nobody's looking. Just come right now. That's right. Just come. Somebody will show you. This is not about joining the church. This is about showing you how to be saved. We can show you how to be saved. Yeah, that's right. Come on. If you're sincere about it, God bless you. I appreciate it. Brother Allen can get down here to show you how to be saved. God bless you. Anybody else? I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm saved. All right. If you're here today, you've been saved and not baptized, according to the Bible. That's a good step to take of obedience, to follow Christ. But if you're concerned that your vision has gotten distorted about Scripture, about service, maybe something else I didn't even preach on, but God brought it to your mind. You want to get that straightened out. You want to get that focused before it's too late. Father, bless our time in your Word this morning. Speak to our hearts. And Lord, help us to see clearly with a single eye. In Jesus' name. Let's stand. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. The piano plays. You come this morning if God spoke to your heart. Let me encourage you. Don't dig your heels in. Don't dig your heels in. Be tender. Be tender with God. Be tender with Him. Be tender with Him. Tender with God's Spirit. While we wait, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. It's time for God's people to do business. If God's Spirit worked in the heart, it's time to do business. Please, if you're not saved or not sure that you're saved, you've been thinking you're saved for a different reason other than Jesus and Jesus alone, please, please let somebody talk to you. Be humble enough to say, I need help. I need help. I need help. See it clearly this morning. See it clearly. While we wait. While we wait. Obey the Lord. Mind God. That's the best thing you can do. Our Father in heaven, I thank you for your word. I pray, God, your Spirit would speak to hearts this morning. And Lord, may we go home with something that kind of lodges way deep down inside of us and makes us, Lord, a little different and hopefully draws us a little closer to you. Lord, like the Sunday school lessons that were taught today in the adult classes about being closer to you. And I pray, God, I know sometimes in that lesson you use adversity to bring us closer to you. And Lord, maybe confrontational preaching is what's needed sometimes to bring us a little step closer. And help us to receive it with humility. And let the Holy Spirit do the work in us that He wants to do. Thank you for, Lord, the ability to see clearly concerning salvation, Scripture, and service. And help us to live that way all our life. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.